Thank you, Mike. I'm glad to be here today.
So your website says you ran in part to identify areas for economic growth. One of your first appointments as an alderman is to the Downtown Task Force. Where's downtown ranked for you as an existing area for economic growth?
Well, thank you for asking that question. I'm very excited about this appointment to the Downtown Task Force. As you know, we had our first meeting on Monday. It was Tuesday, actually. Monday was City Council. Tuesday.
You have a busy schedule.
The days sometimes blend together, but it's all good work and great people, I have to say. And Amelia Burgess is chairing that committee. So we're starting off with studying where we've been and the work that the citizens and staff have put together up to this point, so we can distill that out and actually plug that into our initiative. So how that connects then with my desire to bring about economic growth is to find those pockets within our city, and particularly focusing on our downtown, and say, where can we encourage economic development? If we have a city that is vibrant and robust, then we all benefit from those centers. And frankly, we become a go-to location for all of Central Illinois.
So a strong downtown benefits Ward 9.
It sure does.
The first deadline for the task force is August 31st. What do you think the task force, talked about some of this, has to accomplish before then? What needs to be in that report?
Priorities. We'll be setting priorities. And Tom DeBriner did a great job really briefing us on some of the, I guess I'll call it the options that have been early identified. And actually, we have a heat map, if you like that term, that's the term that's been used, that kind of sets up for us the things that are high priority and maybe lower effort, if you will. And those are the kinds of things that we'd like to jump on rather quickly and elevate, maybe by filling in some particulars as well as some action plans. Now, whether or not, how far along we'll be by our first report date, I'm unclear.
Where does, how much heat is behind trying to find an anchor? And that anchor often has been discussed as a hotel for downtown Bloomington.
We've not fleshed that issue out yet. I think that we know that we already have some significant anchors in our downtown. We have our Center for Performing Arts, as well as our McLean County History Museum. And then, of course, we have the Coliseum as just a pure entertainment and actually community place for gathering. So we have that. I think more likely we'll just look at things that make the downtown cohesive.
Is the warehouse district, is that a lost cause? Is there still hope there to do something in that area?
Oh, yes. It's not a lost cause. That's definitely something that...
A lot of the buildings are gone, though.
Exactly. Which is of interest because we're only limited by our own imaginations. So that's an exciting prospect, if you will. While the warehouse district might not be directly taken on by our downtown task force, we've not yet
defined the parameters.
Parameters. It is something that is certainly an interesting prospect for the future of Bloomington.
You talked about one of the anchors, the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. In that area, the city has recently purchased some parking lots. With the eye to developing those parking lots, not leaving them as surface parking. Is there enough parking in downtown?
I think there is. When I ask folks who reside in the downtown, and I went just anecdotally, when I've spoken to people about their ability to get parking and my own ability to get parking, because I'm there quite frequently, it seems that we are in a good situation in regards to parking. I understand there may need to be some updates. And certainly as we add infrastructure or as we add features to our downtown, we may need to reevaluate parking needs. But for now, I think we're where we need to be.
Kim Bray is Ward 9 Alderman and part of a series of Sound Ideas interviews with newly elected city officials. I'm Mike McCurdy. You landed on council at the same time the debate intensified about competing resources, specifically between the city's core and outlying subdivisions. The catalyst was a sewer oversizing project to serve development north of the Grove. Where are you on this?
Well, we're waiting to hear back. There's been some questions asked in regards to where the Grove is in the timeline of their project, and are there any obligations that are currently outstanding that we need to address? It's my understanding that the fashioning of the Grove agreement gives us the city a continual opportunity to check in on that development and to make decisions as it goes along. So we're waiting right now to hear where we are in that time frame.
And to be clear, though, the sewer oversizing project wouldn't affect the Grove as it is defined today. We're talking about 13,000 acres north of the Grove with homes that have not been built yet. Would you be supportive of an amendment striking this budget expenditure for the sewer oversizing project and reallocating those funds to the city's core?
Well, I like to take a look at it. I'm not against that. At the same time, I am and sensitive to agreements that we've made, and whether those agreements were, where we are in the timeline of those agreements. So we are waiting to hear back from staff and from the developer with some additional information about, a snapshot in time. Understood that some of this goes well into the future, and maybe there's an amendment or a new agreement to be made about some future development. But
your Ward 9 predecessor painted it as a ward versus ward battle. Do you think it is?
In my short time on the council, which is
granted, you were sworn in May 1st.
Yeah, I've attended three meetings now. I don't see any battles, but I am interested in finding out more about it and making a fully informed and reasonable decision on behalf of my Ward 9 constituents.
Where are you on the comp plan in terms of, putting resources towards what they call regenerative and preservation neighborhoods?
I'm supportive of that, and as I've spoken with Ward 9 constituents, they were supportive. And as I campaigned and knocked on those doors and had that opportunity for interactions, and it kind of goes like this: folks that like to live in a more suburban area understand they're not in the downtown area of the city, and that's okay by them. But at the same time, they want to be a satellite around a vibrant core. And so they've been very supportive of maintaining that core that we call our downtown district.
And it sounds like you're not quite ready to make a decision on striking this budget expenditure for the sewer oversizing until all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. You want to make sure it's been fully examined.
Yes, that would be a correct characterization.
Right. The council has approved a transportation commission replacing the Staff Traffic Advisory Commission. You voted for this new commission. Why?
As I campaigned and talked with folks about various issues about traffic safety, I heard time and again that constituents would just like the opportunity to voice their opinions, to have a forum or a place to go to weigh in and say comments about traffic in their community, comments about safety concerns they have.
Or bring new issues to light.
And things that may go beyond what a technical study might show. And so I think that as I read through the proposal, the Traffic Commission, and we worked through making amendments to the initial proposal, I just felt like that met the need that I heard loud and clear from my constituents.
So how do you envision this Transportation Commission working with elected officials and city staff?
Well, that's the devil's in the details, right? So, and everyone has acknowledged that this will be a work in progress, that we'll all have to work together and see how this plays out. But there is some information within the ordinance as passed that sets up the structure for the commission and expect that staff would study and make recommendations, and then the commission would take a look at that and then make recommendations to the city council.
Kimberly Bray was sworn in as Ward 9 Alderman last month. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media. I'm Mike McCurdy. Let's talk about cooperation between Bloomington and Normal. You favored the dissolution of the Metrozone tax sharing agreement and favored future cooperation between the two communities. Let's listen to what you had to say at a League of Women Voters GLT candidate forum back in March.
It's time for another agreement and another purpose. Since the creation of the Metro Zone, we have developed the Bloomington Comprehensive Plan and the BN Advantage. These are excellent vehicles for collaboration. We can use these plans and shared visions for our future to help shape the next deal. And this time, let's have a termination clause. Setting expectations and opening dialogue are essential.
And that's you from March, a GLT, League of Women Voters candidate forum. How do you move forward from this point, and what is that next deal, do you think?
Well, in order to move forward, I think it's important that we have communication between the town of Normal and the city of Bloomington to identify some common goals. Through those kinds of discussions and those kinds of communications, perhaps we can find where that next deal might be. Perhaps it's a sports complex. Perhaps it's a medical office complex. It could be some kind of other entertainment venue. I think that as we have conversations and talk about the needs of our citizens, that will guide our path.
Could it be a municipal-wide, city-wide tax-sharing agreement?
Perhaps. I won't count that out at this juncture, but I'll have to certainly study what those numbers might look like and see what that deal could look like.
Do you think part of the issue with the Metro Zone agreement was the fact that there was no way to get out of it cleanly? You talked about an exit strategy or termination clause.
Exactly. The question that was posed there for me was what I have voted to terminate, as the city council did, and I answered yes. It was time to terminate, because it was an agreement without a termination clause, and I don't think that's good business.
Some aldermen and council members are meeting. A tax sharing agreement, we've heard, is on the table. Some people have talked about this. Are you meeting or talking with any of your counterparts in Normal? And has this come up?
Not at this time.
Okay. Five groups are now calling for some sort of citizen-led oversight board for the Bloomington Police. Where are you in this issue?
Well, I'm meeting with the groups you've mentioned, met with several stakeholder groups. Of course, I've met with the police chief, and as well as I've studied the various iterations of the proposed ordinance. So at this juncture, I'm looking for, I'm hearing about the various pain points, if you will, the obstacles to good relationships in the community and the police, and looking for solutions that match those obstacles or those pain points. And as I study the most current iteration, which was handed to me today, I'm looking to see if there's a match between those pain points and those solutions that have been proposed. And the best honed the solutions are, the more likely I would be in favor of it.
One of those pain points might be with the contract the city has with the police union. Is what you've seen going to work with represented staff that protect the community?
At this juncture, I don't have that level of information.
What do you think about what David Sage had to say, that he doesn't see a need for a review board in light of the other mechanisms for people to file a complaint with the police?
Well, I like the idea that we use the mechanisms that are in place and exhaust those opportunities before we create something new. So some of the questions I've had with these stakeholder groups is, have we exercised the process that's currently in place? For instance, the complaint process. We know that the complaint numbers are very low. So why is that if we're hearing anecdotally that there are many complaints?
So when you've met with these groups, what kind of stories did you hear? I mean, are you buying what you're hearing?
Well, I'm hearing things about reluctance to interact with the police.
Problematic.
Which is problematic. And as a member of the city council, and as a person who believes that our police force and its resources should be available to all citizens, it's of concern to me when there is a group that indicates that they don't wish to involve the police in matters in which the police should be involved. So we need to identify what are those obstacles to involvement and relationship. I'm quite encouraged by the Jefferson House and the opening that we'll have tomorrow. I'm hoping that will start more dialogue and start to develop relationship that will encourage all members of the community to interact with the police force as intended.
200 cities in America have these civilian review boards, so certainly Bloomington can find a way to make it work.
If needed, then Bloomington should find whatever we need to make things work. I'm just waiting to see what the current proposal will do for us and how it addresses the issues that we have in our town. So then we'll have a committee of the whole meeting on Monday, and we'll walk through where we are with the current iteration and see how it matches with the identified pain points and obstacles sure. that exist in our community.
Could be if both sides are unhappy or if both sides are happy, then you've reached the you've reached the middle ground, right?
Could be, yeah. could be.
All right, Kimberly Bray, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Mike.